This is a recording of the Melanie Carpenter conference call with iAdvise on January 31st, 2014 at 8 a.m. Central Time.
Good morning and welcome to the Intercorp Financial Services fourth quarter 2013 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Chantal, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Intercorp Financial Services fourth quarter 2013 earnings conference call. We are very pleased to have with us Mrs. Michela Casaza, Chief Financial Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mrs. Maria del Carmen Rocha, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer of Interseguro, and Mr. Enrique Espinoza, Chief Investment Officer of Interseguro. They will be discussing the results that were distributed yesterday. There is also a presentation to accompany these results. If you did not receive a copy of the presentation or the earnings, you can go to ifs.com.pe to download a copy. Otherwise, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mrs. Casaza, Intercorp's Chief Financial Officer, for her presentation. Mrs. Casaza, please go ahead.
Good morning and welcome to Intercorp Financial Services fourth quarter 2013 conference call. We will start with a brief discussion of the highlights of Intercorp's performance. Intercorp Financial Services in 2013 earnings rose 2.8% due to higher gross financial margin and a decline in provisions, partially offset by an increase in administrative expenses and lower fee income. IFS ROE was 25% in 2013, below the 28.2% of 2012. In the fourth quarter, net income increased 43.4% year-on-year due to higher gross financial margin and results from financial operations, partially offset by growth in administrative expenses. Net earnings increased 41.3% quarter-on-quarter, driven by increases in results from financial operations and financial income, partially offset by growth in administrative expenses. IFS ROE was 28.4% in the fourth quarter, above the 21.3% of the third quarter and the 21% of the fourth quarter of the previous year. At Interbank, in 2013, net earnings rose 13.4% to a record $647.1 million, driven by sustained loan growth, higher results from financial operations, and a decline in provision expenses. The loan portfolio grew 26.9% during the year, registering significant increases of 35.9% in commercial loans, 24.8% in mortgages, and 20.4% in credit cards. In the fourth quarter, net earnings were $157.1 million, a 24.9% increase over the fourth quarter of the previous year, driven by higher interest on loans and a decline in provision expenses. NIM remained stable quarter on quarter at 7%, while fee income posted the third consecutive quarterly growth. The past due loan ratio remained stable quarter on quarter at 1.8%. The BIS ratio remained well above regulatory requirements at 13.4% in the fourth quarter. At Interseguro, earnings reached $152.4 million, a 19.5% decline compared to 2012 due to lower investment income and higher administrative expenses. In the fourth quarter, net income increased $65.6 million quarter-on-quarter and $51 million year-on-year, due mainly to extraordinary income reported by year-end 2013. Annuity sales increased strongly, 9.7% quarter-on-quarter and 29.9% year-on-year, supported by market expansion. Interseguro remained the market leader in annuities, with a market share of approximately 25%. Please turn to page number 4 for a brief review of the net earnings of IFS and its two subsidiaries. Looking at the annual performance, Intercorp financial earnings were $725.5 million in 2013, a 2.8% increase compared to the previous year. Higher earnings were driven by a 7.1% increase in gross financial margin and a 10% decline in provisions, partially offset by a 9.2% growth in administrative expenses. Higher growth in financial margin was due to increasing loan volume at Interbank, partially offset by an increasing interest rate on deposits and bonds at Interbank. IFS ROE was 25% in 2013, below the 28.2% reported in the previous year. On page number 5, we can have a look at the quarterly performance, where net earnings were 207.6 million in the fourth quarter, a 41% increase quarter on quarter and 43.4% increase year on year. When excluding non-recurring items, net earnings decreased 0.2% quarter on quarter and increased 1.3% year on year. IFS ROE was 28.4% in the fourth quarter, above the 21.3% of the third quarter. In the following pages, we will go through a detailed discussion of each company's quarterly results. Please turn to page number 6 to a discussion of IFS P&L statement. Looking at the quarter-on-quarter performance, net earnings increased 41.3%, mainly due to increases of 57.3 million in results from financial operations and 27.1 million in financial income, partially offset by a 29 million growth in administrative expenses. Financial income rose 4% in the quarter, driven by a 7% increase in the average volume at Interbank. Financial expenses increased 3% quarter on quarter due to a 7.1% growth in the average volume of deposits at Interbank. Provision expenses grew 5.9%, which was the second consecutive quarterly increase, albeit at a lower rate than the 6.2% growth in gross loans. Fee income rose 7.6% on a quarterly basis as a result of a 2.7 million decrease in the elimination of commissions charged by Interbank to Interseguro related to the sale of premiums, as well as higher fees from letters of guarantee at Interbank. Interseguro's loss on insurance underwriting decreased 75.2% due mainly to higher annuity sales. Results from financial operations rose 85.9% on a quarterly basis, mainly as a result of a non-recurring gain on the sale of the real estate property at Interseguro in the fourth quarter. Administrative expenses grew 9.6%, mainly due to increases in different services, maintenance and miscellaneous supplies at Interbank, and higher personal expenses at Interseguro. IFS effective tax rate decreased from 29.4% in the third quarter to 22% in the fourth quarter, mainly due to a higher contribution to net earnings from Interseguro, whose investment income is tax exempt. When looking at the yearly performance, net earnings increased 43.4% year on year, mainly due to increases of 15.5% in gross financial margin and 36.8% in results from financial operations, partially offset by a 12% growth in administrative expenses. Financial income rose strongly, 15.2%, mainly explained by increases of 91.2 million in interest and fees on loans at Interbank and 13.2 million in investment income at Interseguro, partially offset by around 10 million lower interest on cash at Interbank. Financial expenses increased 14% year-on-year due to higher interest on deposits and due to banks at Interbank. The rise in interest on deposits was attributed to increases in the average volume, partially offset by a decline in the average cost. Provision expenses decreased 18.9% year-on-year due to lower requirements for credit card delinquencies and the reversal of provisions for internal alignment in other consumer loans and mortgages, partially offset by higher requirements in the commercial loan portfolio due to the loan growth. Fee income declined 18.1% year-on-year as a result of lower fees from credit card account payment delivery, lower fees from letter of guarantee, and higher expenses related to insurance sales at Interbank. Interseguro's loss from insurance underwriting decreased 5.6 million in the fourth quarter as a result of a higher elimination of commissions paid by Interseguro to Interbank, as previously mentioned, as well as growth in premiums partially offset by higher reserves and claims. Results from financial operations rose 36.8% year-on-year due to a non-recurring gain of the sale of real estate investments registered at Interseguro in the fourth quarter, partially offset by lower gains on the sale of investments and derivative gains at IFS. Administrative expenses increased 12% due to higher provisions for employee profit sharing at higher expenses for various services, property leases, maintenance, and miscellaneous supplies at Interbank. Entering at the bank's yearly results on page number Before entering to page number 8, let me comment briefly about Interbank's yearly results. We are very pleased with the results achieved by the bank this year, a year in which many regulatory changes came into effect. We have achieved a very strong growth in the core results of the bank, including both retail and commercial businesses. Last year, we took the difficult decision to stop growing the credit card portfolio, I'm talking about 2012, as a result of an increase in the past due levels in the market, which led the bank to lose some market share in that product. During 2013, after having fine-tuned our credit scoring for the product, we have strongly recovered market share with very sound risk levels. Interbank's net earnings reached 647.1 million in 2013, a 13.4% increase versus the previous year. The main factors that contributed to these results were increases of 6.1% in gross financial margin and 29.8% in results from financial operations, as well as a 10% decrease in provisions, partially offset by a 9.4% growth in administrative expenses. Financial income grew 8.3%, mainly driven by a 13.5% increase in interest on loans, partially offset by a 15.6% growth in financial expenses, mainly related to higher average volumes across the main sources of funding. Interbank's ROE was 26.6% in 2013, below the 27.1% reported in the previous year. In 2013, as in 2012, net earnings were affected by non-recurring factors, most of which were related to extraordinary gains on the sale of investment. In 2013, such gains generated 63.2 million in after-tax income, whereas in the previous year, this contributed 13.4 million to the bottom line. Excluding such non-recurring items, net earnings would have grown 4.8% in 2013. Please turn to page number 8 for a discussion of Interbank's quarterly performance. Interbank's net earnings were 157.1 million in the fourth quarter, a 24.9% increase year-on-year and stable with respect to the previous quarter. The year-on-year growth was mainly due to a 15.6% increase in gross financial margin and an 18.9% decline in provisions, partially offset by a 14.1% rise in administrative expenses. Net earnings remained stable quarter-on-quarter as a result of 4.4% growth in gross financial margin that was offset by a 7.5% increase in administrative expenses and 7.1% reduction in results from financial operations. Interbank's ROE was 24.5% in the fourth quarter, lower than the 25.9% reported in the third quarter, but higher than the 21.9% registered in the same quarter of the previous year. Looking at page number 9 in the presentation, performing loans grew 6.3% quarter-on-quarter, with commercial loans growing 7.7%, driven mainly by demand for medium-term and trade finance loans. Retail loans grew 4.8% due to increases of 9.1% in credit cards, 3.7% in mortgage loans, and 2.8% in other consumer loans. The recovery of the credit card segment was effectively consolidated, with the fourth quarter being the third consecutive quarter of solid growth after four consecutive quarters of reduction, during which time Interbank maintained more rigorous credit standards regarding the acquisition of new clients. Performing loans grew 26.9% year-on-year. Commercial loans grew 35.9%, mainly due to an increase in medium-term loans. Retail loans grew 18.5%, driven by increases of 24.8% in mortgage loans, 20.4% in credit cards, and 10.5% in consumer loans. In the fourth quarter, credit card volumes reached a record level for Interbank, with a past due loan ratio of 4.1% in said product, in line with that of the third quarter, and below the 4.9% reported in the fourth quarter of the previous year. We have gained market share at total bank level, and also in each of the businesses, retail and commercial. Looking at page number 10, Interbank's funding base grew 4.2% quarter-on-quarter, matching the growth in loans. Deposits rose 6.5% due to increases of 9.1% in commercial deposits, 7.2% in retail deposits, and 2.8% in institutional deposits. The bank's funding base increased 28.2% year-on-year in line with loans, mainly due to growth of 38.5% in deposits, 13.5% in bonds, partially offset by a 9.1% decrease in due to banks. The year-on-year growth in bonds was explained by three factors, partially offset by other additional factors. The first two factors were two subordinated bond issuances, one for 150 million soles in January 2013, and the second of $50 million in December 2013, both of which were placed in the local market. The third factor was a 9.6% depreciation of the Nuevo Sol against the U.S. dollar, which led to an increase in the value of bonds issued in dollars. The main attenuating factor was the maturity of 136.5 million leasing bonds in March 2013. Here again, as for loans, we have been able to gain market share in both retail and commercial deposits. On page number 11, looking at the quarterly performance, gross financial margins increased 4.4% on a quarterly basis as a result of a 4.0% growth in financial income, partially offset by a 2.8% increase in financial expenses. The growth in financial income was due to a 4.9% increase in interest on loans, partially offset by reductions of 26.9% in interest on cash and 7.2% in interest on investment. The increase in interest on loans was due to a 7% growth in the average loan volume, partially offset by a 30 basis point reduction in the average yield from 12.2 in the third quarter to 11.9 in the fourth quarter. The higher average volume was due to increases of 8.8% in commercial loans and 5.4% in retail loans. The return on average interest earning assets remained stable quarter on quarter at 9.5% due to higher proportion of loans with the total of interest earning assets, which offset declining yields across all asset classes. Financial expenses increased 2.8% on a quarterly basis due to a 7.7% growth in interest on deposits, partially offset by a 1.87% decrease in interest on bonds. The growth in interest on deposits was due to a 7.1% growth in the average volume, while the average cost remained stable. The higher volume was explained by increases of 17.6% in commercial deposits and 6.4% in retail deposits. The average cost remained stable. The average cost of funding remained stable quarter on quarter at 2.4%. Looking at the yearly performance, gross financial margin rose 15.6% year-on-year due to a 15% increase in financial income, partially offset by a 12.9% growth in financial expenses. The increase in financial income was due to a growth of 21.8% in interest on loans, partially offset by reductions of 68.6% in interest on cash and 10.5% in fees on loans. The increase in interest on loans was explained by a 25.1% growth in the average loan volume, partially offset by a 40 basis point decrease in the average yield from 12.3% in the fourth quarter 2012 to 11.9% in the fourth quarter of this year. Growth in the average volume was due to increases of 34.2% in the commercial portfolio and 17.1% in the retail portfolio. The lower average yield was explained by a 40 basis point reduction in the commercial portfolio, partially offset by a 60 basis point increase in the retail portfolio and by a higher proportion of commercial loans within the total loan portfolio. The year-on-year decrease in fees on loans was due to the elimination of certain fees, including various credit card-related fees by the Peruvian Banking Regulator beginning January 1, 2013. The return on average interest earning assets was 9.5% in the fourth quarter, 90 basis points lower than the 10.4% registered in the fourth quarter of the previous year, mainly due to lower yields on the loan portfolio and on cash. Financial expenses increased 12.9% year-on-year due to growth of 17.5% in interest on deposits, 14.9% in interest on due to banks, and 5.6% in interest on bonds. The rise in interest on deposits was attributed to a 33.7% increase in the average volume, partially offset by a 20 basis point decline in the average cost. The higher average volume was due to growth of 57.4% in commercial deposits, 25.1% in retail deposits, and 23.3% in institutional deposits. The increase in interest on bonds was mainly due to an 11.2% increase in the average volume, explained by two subordinated bond issuance, as previously mentioned. The average cost of funding decreased from 2.7% in the fourth quarter to 2.4% in the fourth quarter of 2013, mainly due to the lower cost of deposits. On page number 12, you can see net interest margin remains stable on a quarterly basis at 7.0% after having increased from the second quarter of 2013 from 6.9%. In page 13, provision expenses grew 5.9% on a quarterly basis, albeit at a lower rate than the 6.2% increase registered in gross loans. However, on an annual basis, provision requirements decreased at 18.9%. As a result, the annualized ratio of provision expense to average loans was 2% in the fourth quarter, lower than the 3.1% registered in the fourth quarter and in line with that of the third quarter of 2013. The quarterly increase was due to a higher requirement for credit card provisions, partially due to volume growth, partially offset by lower requirements for mortgages and small business loans, and a reversal of provisions for internal alignment and other consumer loans. The rise in provisions expenses for credit cards was related to a 9.1% growth in credit card balances in the fourth quarter of 2013. The annual decrease in provision expenses was due to lower requirements for credit card provisions and the reversal of provisions for internal alignment in other consumer loans and mortgages, partially offset by higher requirements in the commercial portfolio due to volume growth. The ratio of past due loans to total loans decreased from 1.9% in the fourth quarter of 2012 to 1.8% in both the third quarter and the fourth quarter of 2013. The coverage ratio of the past due loan portfolio decreased from 234.6% in the fourth quarter of the previous year to 226.5% in the fourth quarter of 2013, but well above system average. On page number 14, fee income grew 2.1% on a quarterly basis, mainly due to increase in fees from contingent operations and mainly related to letters of guarantee. Fee income decreased 11.2% year-on-year as a result of higher net expenses related to insurance and lower fees from credit card account statement delivery and from contingent operations. Results from financial operations decreased $5.5 million on a quarterly basis due to a $6 million reduction in exchange and derivative gains. Administrative expenses increased 7.5% on a quarterly basis and 14.1% year-on-year. The quarterly growth was mainly due to a 13% rising expenses for services received from third parties, which was explained by increases in services, maintenance, and miscellaneous supplies. The yearly growth was mainly attributed to increases of 16% in personnel expenses and 12% in expenses for third-party services. The efficiency ratio was 52.1% in the fourth quarter, above the 50% reported in the third quarter and the 50.6% registered in the fourth quarter of 2012. On page 15, the ratio of regulatory capital to risk-weighted assets was 13.4% in the fourth quarter. We see a quarterly rise in risk-weighted assets, which is attributed to sustained loan growth and scheduled regulatory adjustments to the calculation of risk-weighted assets that increase the risk weighting from 100 to 150% assigned to certain consumer loans disbursed before 2013. The increase in the regulatory capital on a quarterly basis was due to the issuance of $50 million subordinated bonds in December 2013 and to the accumulation of additional $46.8 million worth of earnings with capitalization agreements. The annual reduction in the capital ratio was due to a 26.5% increase in risk-weighted assets, partially offset by a 27.6% growth in regulatory capital. The increase in risk-weighted assets was attributed to loan growth and two scheduled regulatory adjustments to the calculation of risk-weighted assets. The year-on-year increase in regulatory capital was mainly the result of different factors. The first was the incorporation of $313.7 million in capital and reserves over the past 12 months. The second and third factors were the two subordinated bond issues previously mentioned. And the fourth factor was the accumulation of $56.3 million in additional generic provisions, a product of sustained loan growth year on year. The final factor was a positive difference of $46.8 million in the amount of accumulated earnings with capitalization agreements in the fourth quarter with respect to the fourth quarter of the previous year. The year-on-year increase in capital and reserves allowed for additional $62.8 million from interbank $200 million junior subordinated bonds issued to be incorporated as Tier 1 capital. As of the fourth quarter of 2013, 73.7% of these issues qualified as Tier 1 capital, and the remainder was considered Tier 2 capital. As of the fourth quarter, Interbank's capital ratio of 13.4% was 190 basis points above its risk-adjusted minimum capital ratio established at 11.5%. The minimum regulatory capital ratio requirement was 10%, while the additional capital requirement for Interbank was 1.5% as of the fourth quarter. Now, let me turn to Maria del Carmen Rocha, which will discuss Interseguro's results.
Turn to page 17 of the presentation. The table shows a summary of Interseguro's P&L performance. Net earnings reached $72.5 million in the fourth quarter of 2013, an increase of $65.6 million quarter over quarter and $61 million year over year. The annualized ROE was 69.5% in the fourth quarter of 2013, above the 7% reported in the third quarter of 2013 and the 17.5% registered in the fourth quarter of 2012. The quarter-over-quarter technical margin increase is explained by lower fees in decreasing term life insurance for credit cards. As we accounted in the third quarter of 2013, accumulated fees not recognized at the beginning of the year. Lower claims in disability and survivor benefits and a positive effect on annuities reserves due to November's deflation. Administrative expenses growth is explained by an extraordinary incentive provision as well as a provision for a tax credit loss. Investment income increases is explained by a non-recurrent gain from the sale of a real estate property located in San Isidro, the heart of the financial district in Lima. Please turn to the next page of the presentation. Page 18 shows in detail the performance of Interseguro's premiums. In the fourth quarter of 2013, premiums were $152.4 million, an increase of 8% quarter over quarter and 36.9% year over year. Annuities increased in line with a market expansion of 7.4% quarter over quarter and 25.6% year over year. As of the end of 2013, Interseguro remained the leading annuity provider for 4 years in a row with a 25% market share. Group life growth is explained by higher sales in decreasing term life insurance for credit cards. Year-over-year increase is particularly explained by a new commercial agreement with the bank. Non-life insurance increase is explained by a provision for car protection due to the new insurance contract law released in 2013 and by the launch of a new car insurance product. Finally, on page 19, there are some details on Interseguro's investment portfolio and investment income. In the fourth quarter of 2013, investment income was $115.7 million, an increase of 116% quarter over quarter and 92% year over year. The quarter over quarter and year over year increases are explained by a $61 million non-recurring gain attributable to the sale of a real estate property previously mentioned. The results of this sale will be used for developments in current and potentially new real estate properties. Interseguro's investment portfolio grew 5.67% quarter over quarter and 15.7% year over year, driven by higher annuity sales and the price appreciation of Interseguro's overall portfolio. That would be all. Thank you.
Very much. At this time, we would like to open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Once again, at this time, we would like to open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Thank you. Our first question will come from Marcelo Teles from Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first one, I mean, I was wondering if you could share with us what are your expectations for, you know, asset quality, you know, in 2014, and where do you see cost of risk evolving? I mean, we saw that cost of risk remained very stable, and at 2% of your average loans. Should expect that to rise, maybe due to mix. And if you can give some color on what you're seeing on the SME portfolio as well. The other question is on your capital, right? We saw a decline, you know, in your Tier 1 capital in the quarter. You know, of course, you had an increase in risk-weighted factor. Do you foresee, or is there any other pending, regulation or pending increases in risk-weighted assets that could lead to a lower Tier 1 capital in the future, or this is as much as it's going to get? Thank you.
Good morning, Marcelo. This is Michela speaking. As for your first question related to asset quality, good morning. What we envision for next year is that we will see a slight deterioration of the numbers we have registered in 2013, and this is mainly related to the mix of the portfolio and the different pace of growth that we will experience during 2014. With a higher incidence of credit card, more likely just because of product mix, this ratio will deteriorate a little bit. And talking specifically about the SME question, we are aware of the fact that this segment has experienced a strong deterioration in the asset quality during 2013, but this is a segment in which we are participating only focusing on the higher end of the segment. So basically, during 2013, we have not seen a strong deterioration at interbank portfolio, and basically, due to a strategic decision, we are not focusing on the lower portion of that segment, which is the one which has created some troubles in the market. Talking about Tier 1 and regulation, basically, what we have experienced during 2013 is something similar, and we know already the effect of what will happen in 2014, 2015, because as you might remember, we have a new regulation in place that came into effect in 2012, and this regulation has a full program of adjustment in risk-weighted assets that goes until 2016. So basically, the impact of the increases in risk-weighted assets that you have seen in 2013, you will see again in 2014 because, as for example, we have the increase in the risk-weighted asset factor from 100% to 150% in revolving consumer loans, then we will experience that again to 200% at the end of 2014. But these are all things that have already, let's say, been regulated and that are in a program of implementation that will go up until the year 2016. So basically, we have that considered in our projections for this year, and shouldn't be a problem to limit the growth.
Perfect. So you're comfortable with your capital position, even though despite these additional capital requirements?
Yes, because, I mean, it's not a surprise. No, it's something that we know since 2012. So it's just implementation of what was already defined.
Excellent. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Boris Marlina. Santander.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for the call. Just a couple of questions. The first one, could you share with us again what is more or less your outlook for the year in terms of guidance for volumes and efficiency and margins, and if you have ROE, so that we can kind of get an idea of more or less how the year is going to evolve for you?
What we are envisioning for this year is, to grow something that should be at around 15 or a little bit more percent in terms of loans. Basically, what we're trying to achieve is to outperform the market, so we're trying to gain some market share. But of course, this has an element of volatility, which we always discuss, which is the growth in the large corporate segment, no? That can go from 0% to 10% that we have seen in the past 2 years. So basically, our idea is to try to continue to gain a little bit of market share as we have done in the previous year. As for efficiency, 2013 was a hard year because due to the reduction of fee income in credit cards, that was a factor that has hit our efficiency ratio. So we envision that for the next year, we should definitely see an improvement of this efficiency ratio of more than 1%. And what we are trying to achieve also for this year is to be able to defend our recurring ROE.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Now, when you're looking at the marketplace, are you currently considering any acquisitions? That there are some rumors that Mibanco could be up for sale or a stake or anything. Is this a segment that attracts you, or is this something that you think it's not strategic for you?
As I mentioned briefly in the previous question, I mean, on our commercial banking business, we have, let's say, three different segments which we serve with different business models. We have the large corporate, which maybe is not exactly large corporate and international standard, but it's like more like upper part of the middle corporate. We have the mid-market segment, and then we have also small business. But the small business that we are targeting at Interbank is the upper end of that segment, okay? So we are not focusing in, let's say, micro business or the smaller part of the small business, which is the main, let's say, business of Mibanco. So basically, our strategy is to continue to focus on those segments which are the ones that are not reflecting any strong deterioration in the asset quality.
Yeah, hi Boris, it's Luis de Castellanos. A couple of years ago we decided not to get into microfinance, and that stands.
Okay, wonderful. Now, one final question. When you look at at this plan to increase risk-weighted assets into 2015, which are the segments where you think, apart from credit cards, where you might also feel an impact? You're just basically concerned a little bit about local regulation in Peru is very restrictive for banks in terms of capital consumption. However, there is a collateral benefit that the industry is experiencing from lower reserve requirements on local currency funding. So how do you see these changes affecting your profitability? Do you think that this is going to be neutral in the medium term, or do you think that this is going to put pressure on return on equity?
Remember that Peruvian banks are over-capitalized, no? So with the 13-14% capital ratios that we manage, we have run our numbers, and even with these increases in risk-weighted assets, yes, of course, we need to capitalize our earnings and do some subordinated debt, but it's not something that will require us to really need so much capital that will impact ROE. Okay, this is one of the things. And you were asking about which are the impacts in risk-weighted assets. This regulation actually impacts most of the classes, but the strongest impact is on consumer lending, especially revolving. So it's a portion of that is credit cards, but it's also personal loans. Okay. And as far as the reserve requirements, we have seen some reductions in reserve requirements in the last month, and we expect to also to see some more coming this year. So I think this is something that is going to impact positively, because actually that put some pressure last year on our NIM. So what we are expecting for next year is for sure to see a stabilization of NIM that is coming from credit cards that will continue to grow and will have a higher incidence on the portfolio, but also on the reduction of the reserve requirements.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Our next question will come from Alonso Aramburu from BTG Pactual.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I had a question, a follow-up to Boris' question regarding NIM and yields, really. We're seeing basically yields on the asset side come down over the last couple of quarters, and you've been able to sustain the NIM stable. But just wondering how you see competition evolving and how do you think asset yields, especially on the consumer side, will develop in 2014?
I think there will continue to be pressure as we have seen it in 2013, no, in the retail business. What I think shouldn't happen again is what we saw during 2012, no, that we had a kind of price war in credit card that created a kind of a strong impact also in the asset quality. So if you look at each of the specific segments, yes, we will continue to see pressures on the margins, but what we foresee is that because of the mix of the different classes of asset yield, this is the main reason why we should be able to defend that NIM.
Okay, great. And would you say that the environment today is more competitive than, say, 6 or 12 months ago, or it's the same?
I mean, I think it's a little bit more competitive, but, I mean, if you're talking only about retail, I would say it's similar or a little bit more, but maybe a little bit more on commercial, no? Because we have a little bit of more international banks coming into town.
Okay. Thank you, Miguel.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you very much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Thank you very much. Well, speakers, at this time, it looks like we have no further questions. So, Ms. Casasso, I'll turn it over to you for closing remarks.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody, for attending the call, and we'll see you during the call for the first quarter of 2014.